Absolutely, you know.
One of the things I said in my review was, in last year, and you know, this review was actually very biased when it came to. I really went into talking about the failure of the box office of the re-release, and
this is a brilliant camera move, by the way.
Yes,
the revealing of E.T. in the behind the glass, the plexiglass here. I really do love this, and you know. I mean, under any other director, any other composer, this would just be another, you know, Mac and Me. This would just be,
well,
a piece of
Mac and Me tried a little too hard to be like E.T. and failed miserably.
Go ahead.
One of the things that I said was at the end of my review, I said that I had forgotten about a traditional look at the film in lieu of defending the film in the wake of a poor box office performance of its re-release is perhaps a sign of the passion instilled by the best or even best loved films we see in our lifetimes. With these films, we're more willing to go to the mat for them to defend their honor and or reputation in our discussions of them. It doesn't happen often in modern cinema. With AI and now E.T.'s revival, it's happened twice in less than a year, courtesy of the same filmmaker. I'll talk about AI when we do a commentary for that, and we will be doing a commentary for that, because that's a film I greatly admire, and I know we have very differing opinions on that.
There's going to be some back and forth on that,
but I mean,
I just don't get the buzz off AI that you do, Brian. But
this is, you know, I mean, it was because of this film that Kubrick thought that Spielberg would be the director to do AI, and I mean, you can really see why. I mean, you really can see why.
What instrument is making that? What is that?
Clarinet.
Oh, gosh. That was the dumbest question I could have asked. Yeah.
If it were a trumpet, that would have been dumber. But anyway.
Wonderful moment right here.
Yeah,
just
very subtle.
You can hear every.
You see it. You know what's going on.
You can hear every feeling
of what's going on. But it's like
just
you know,
as he's closing the casket, you can hear every kid in the theater go.
Yeah.
The articulation of the words in the animatronic is great right there. He's like,
I like how he's trying to get him to shut up. Okay.
Look at his eyes right there. He's like, he's like a little kid right there. He's like, I'm going home.
Yeah. Trying to cover up the glowing heart.
Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing?
This is great acting here.
No,
well, this is great acting.
The fact that we can go automatically from the
joy to absolute fake desperation.
No, well, the fact that we can go from the emotions we were feeling, you know, 5 minutes ago to now is, you know, just a more testament to the performances and the score and the direction.
Yeah. Scores, I mean, he was walking right along with it.
But it's giving us permission to have fun with the story again.
Yeah.
It's saying it's okay to. Everything's going to be okay. No, what voice? Again, the most clueless mom.
She's just not thinking about it. She's thinking, oh, well, she's 6 years old. She's, you know, having fun. And it's like, whoops.
You said I was supposed to give this to you when they go.
Well, obviously they haven't gone. Now, they don't find this suspicious.
You just walk in there.
It's like,
he was dying like 10 minutes ago. Now he's like.
Big brother, little brother stuff.
Great. Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm Josh. There's a great line coming up. It just great little subtle line coming up with Michael. I've never driven Ford before.
Finally gets the mask on.
Yeah. Now he takes it off again.
Let's do it. Yeah, man.
Misfits, but his boys.
Yeah.
Roll right there.
That looks like. I think all of these kids were meant to look like Steven Spielberg at one. Or at least the second kid was. Because I know I've seen Steven Spielberg in pictures look like that. With the red hat.
Well, they're going to die and they're going to get my license. I love that all of a sudden there's this action sequence.
Yeah.
Right.
Coming out of nowhere, but you're still feeling it. You're still,
yeah.
You're there. And, you're in the moment.
You know, there's nothing elaborate about it.
No, it's not, that's one of the great things about it.
It's a believable action sequence too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
there's so few of them in the movie, but the fact of the matter is that it's just great storytelling. It's not action as much as it's just, well, it's action, but it's.
That's the little kid moment right there.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, this thing didn't have to be Indiana Jones running for his life from a boulder.
No.
You know, I mean.
This is a great Spielberg moment right here.
Yeah.
I want to know how he didn't fly out of there. Out of the
I don't know. Well, good stunt driving.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm sure they probably weren't going that fast. Okay, now maybe the symbolism in this part is a bit too heavy. You know? Maybe a bit too much, but just.
Well, I think this is more or less a setup for the this is a reality joke. This is a reality Greg joke.
Yeah.
I think this is all just set up for, you know, the swelling music and whatnot is just set up for the joke that's coming. Which is actually one of the bigger laughs from the movie, I think. Didn't these guys have guns in 82?
Yes, they did have guns, and that's what I was just about to get ready to talk about, which is the change that was coming up, the most controversial change that was made.
The most painful change.
The most painful change was the changing of the guns
to walkie-talkies.
To walkie-talkies. Now, Steven Spielberg has said that if he could do it over, he would do it with walkie-talkies.
I was like, well, great.
The problem is he actually did it, and it takes the attention away from a great moment to something I never noticed until this came up.
Right.
I never noticed it until it came up.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet move.
Yeah, it is. I saw I watched this on New Year's Day of 2002. It was the first movie I saw. I thought, you know what, I haven't watched this in a very long time, was excited about the re-release, and I wanted to see it again, so it's like, I watched it, and when it got to this moment that's coming up, it's like, the fact that I knew that there was a change being made in the scene just killed me.
Mm-hmm.
Distracted me to no end.
These kids had to have gotten into some kind of trouble for doing all this, and
yeah.
you just never see it.
Right. What I liked about that was they actually thought the car would stop them.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, and like I said, nothing spectacular about this action sequence. It's a fun adventure sequence, mm-hmm. you know. It's a fun, believable adventure sequence.
This music cue, when I play this in my car, I always drive faster.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Some music does have a tendency to cause that to happen.
Yeah, you're back on your bike in the neighborhood again. When you're 12 years old on a bike. I think something's going to happen here.
You think? Yeah, see, this was the part where it's like, we were watching this for the very first time, and it's like, it caught us completely by surprise because we missed that earlier scene. See,
I think those leaves,
the walkie-talkies.
Yeah, I think those leaves are a little bit of an enhancement. The leaves flying up from the ground.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is all.
A couple of scenes that were there were a couple of little things that you could really tell were.
Well, in the 82 version, all the wide shots of the kids anywhere were models. We're little figurines of kids on bikes. This is all obviously real kids against blue screen, I think. Something along those lines, anyway. But I love the difference between the cue from Halloween and the cue right here because the cue from Halloween when the bike takes off, it's more of a fun sequence, and this is fun too. But at the same time, it's much more has much more weight to it. There's more emotion involved, I think.
Right, in the first scene, well, in the scene in the
on Halloween.
In Halloween has that element of surprise where it's like you don't know what's about to happen. It's like so.
But
here you kind of get the feeling that it's like, hey, why don't they just do that?
Such emotion involved with that cue as opposed to. But yeah, this always makes me think of the shots of the spaceship. Always makes me think of the ET bed sheets I had. For some reason, I had a lot of. I don't remember. I don't have too many clear memories of seeing the movie in the theater. But I remember every bit of ET merchandise I had when I was a little kid, and the stuff, the dolls, and the bed sheets, and the. I think there was even some, you know. So yeah,
there was an Atari coloring game that book. I had.
Yeah, there was a god awful Atari game.
That
thing was painful to try. You couldn't beat it to save your life.
That is better known as one of the worst video games ever.
It's just oh.
And you're collecting Reese's Pieces, and I'm like, you know,
yeah.
It's the same guy that created Yara's Revenge, which is one of the top video games ever. Created ET, which is one of the worst video games.
Yeah, I love these enhancers of the ship are really beautiful.
Oh, they're over there. Drew has
stop
a lot
the
of
ship,
great
mom. Or stop the car, mom.
Drew has a lot of great moments in this. they're over there.
Yeah, I like the crack in her voice. Like, yeah. They're over there. Watch Sesame Street every day.
Yeah. At least he didn't say Big Bird. Plus, I'm sure there were some copyright issues with that, but well, probably not. They let him use the.
I'm sure that Spielberg and Henson were.
Oh, that's right. Jim Henson. Never mind.
They're in cahoots.
Never mind. I take that back. Yeah, I'm sure they were good friends.
That Mama
Yuki. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, it's actually, it really is a very cool review that Roger Ebert does because he had watched it with his grandkids, I believe, and it was sort of like an open letter. It was formed as an open letter to them of him recollecting them watching E.T. for the first time. Start off my. start off my review of E.T. by saying, seeing E.T. in its re-release in theaters after 20 years is like reuniting with a friend from your childhood after many years of being out of touch with each other. You recognize each other, but you've changed. You're older, wiser, hopefully, and more aware of the world. But once you spend some time with each other, you remember those early times in your relationship as clearly as you can, and what results is something truly special. That, now, I mean, obviously, the older, wiser, and more aware of the world, I mean, it's a movie, so it's not exactly going to change in that respect.
I don't remember your review being that good.
Yes, actually, I don't mind being a bit, you know, being a bit full myself and saying I really do feel like it's one of my best reviews I've written. I mean,
you always do a good review. You always do good reviews, man.
And
this is pretty magical moment right here.
I
teared up a little bit.
When they did the scene in the trailer for the re-release where he says, "I'll be right there." I mean, it got to me. And I'd seen it like 20, 30 times in my life. I mean, what does that tell you? Yeah. This is a movie that... I'm sorry, I'm still in awe of how anybody could not like this movie. It's... I mean, it's one of the most sincere and...
Genuine
movies I've ever seen. I mean, it's one of the... You know, I've been saying it's one of the great... Probably the great family film of all time. And, you know, it's really one of the best films of all time. It's one of the best films Steven's ever made. You know, I mean... You know, it's one of my favorites, for sure. I mean, I've had, you know, movies recently have come along that I like more.
Look at his face right there, by the way. Yeah. His face is just... That's an obvious enhancement there, but that's...
It's really well done, too. Mm-hmm.
You can see the sadness in E.T.
But the thing is, it's a bittersweet ending.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you want them to be able to stay together, but at the same time, you know that it's not what's best for E.T.
I like this
Harvey,
moment a lot.
Yeah, Harvey
this is
going
great,
up.
That's
the,
a great moment.
It's like no, I'm going. I'm staying. Yeah, that is a nice little moment. And I mean,
vintage Spielberg.
I've never seen a film that I would ever call truly perfect. I mean, I don't think there's any film that could ever be truly perfect. I mean, but this comes pretty darn close.
Mm-hmm.
This comes pretty darn close.
Well, the 82 version, anyway.
Well, the 82 version, yeah. More than this one. I mean, I have issues on some of the changes, but... I mean, there's not one scene, at least in the original version, you would do away with.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one moment in the original version you wouldn't do.
The only reason enhancements were made in this movie was to please, Spielberg said, to please the perfectionist in himself.
Yeah. I mean, you know...
He had no problem with this movie.
Mm-hmm. And, you know... You really have to respect him for saying that, like, he never wanted to do a sequel or remake E.T. And the bottom line is, it would have felt wrong if he did. I mean, there are some movies that just... I don't care how good they are, why do a sequel to them? They were perfect the first time. You know...
John Williams, bring it home right there.
Yeah. I mean, you could do sequels to this like you wouldn't believe, but why? Mm.
The great piano one,
which is one of my...
It's piano cues. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous. But,
yeah. It is a really good movie. I mean, you know, it seems like we've been gushing over this for like two hours.
The
fact of the matter is, I mean, there's not much bad here.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little bad in this movie. I mean, it's not like
Spider-Man or
Back to the Future Part 2 that we've done where it's like
we have
issues with it. We have conflicting Carlo Rambaldi create E.T.
Yeah.
We have conflicting things. Dennis Muren, one of the...
I love the... the DVD extras are not... The DVD is not heavy on extras.
No.
But I think what
and it was going to have a few more before Spielberg convinced Universal to put the original version on, which, by the way, if you listen to this, Steven, thank you.
Yeah.
saving me some hard-earned money, although I was going to happily pay for the box set.
Right.
I might if I get hold of any.
Right. Well, the DVD is not heavy on extras, like we were saying, but I think my favorite is are the production photos. I really do feel like those go into more in-depth detail of the making of the film than the behind-the-scenes featurette. But that's just the featurette is just a little bit more staged, I think, than and the reunion. You know, it's nice, but it's nothing spectacular compared to the
voice design on E.T.
compared to the one feature that is worth every penny you spend on this DVD is getting to listen to John Williams orchestrate the music live
and to see what the process that went into making that happen.
Absolutely.
Which
that's worth every penny you spend on this DVD. We need to show that to Dave before he goes home, by the way.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's worth that and the 82 version being included with the 2002 version is just worth every dime you spend on this disc.
If you can find it, I mean, by this time it's not being produced anymore.
Right. Well,
10-week thing. You can still find it at places, but anyway. If you don't have it now, if you can't find it, if you come across it, or next time they re-release it,
grab it.
There's no reason to not have it here. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one of the best family films. This is a film I would have no qualms about, showing to
your kids someday. To my kids.
My cousin's children.
Wow.
Or
yeah.
Any kids I have.
Right. I cannot wait to share this movie with my kids. I cannot wait to share this movie with my kids. But anyway,
That's about it for me.
Me as well, and I'm sure Dave as well. Dave, we're just in
any
utter
more
awe.
Comments, Dave?
I fell asleep.
Oh, Dave. You missed a lot.
No.
I think Dave was very just watching the movie, because I know Dave hadn't seen it in a while, so I think he was just enjoying it just as much as Brian and I were. Brian and I were struggling.
Let Dave say something.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I was just watching the movie. And just sitting back and enjoying it. No. I was just kind of watching it, sitting back enjoying it again for just the second time. Since I don't know how many years ago that I first saw it, but yeah, oh, wow. That's all I can say is just wow. After Spider-Man, this is really up to the ante, just a little bit.
Yeah.
At least you didn't have to act as moderator as much during this as you did in Spider-Man. So
yeah.
Anyway,
I think that's about it. Let's wrap it up. I'm Brian Scuttle, musical movie critic.
Ronnie Haynes.
And Dave Moss.
And this is Yahoo's with a microphone. And